The time is 6 o'clock. This is Radio Ghana, the news presented by Samuel Essa
and Doreen Nampofu.
In the headlines, President Mahama challenges youth to take up agriculture as a business venture. Government to ensure constant supply of crude to Tema Oil Refinery to enhance operation. Sod cut for police clinic in Ashanti to ensure security of ailing suspects. Tanzania police arrest 15 people for alleged kidnap of albino girl. And football, Black Stars defeat Portuguese club Oranis 3-0 in first pre-AFCON friendly match. The news in details. As he marked second year in office, President John Mahama yesterday spent time with a 34-year-old cocoa farmer, Samuel Tobi, on his farm at Asinbichim in the central region. The president chose to spend the day with a young farmer to encourage the youth to take up agriculture as a business rather than a way of life. He said government has a number of attractive incentives to boost interest in that sector. President Mahama was accompanied by the chief of staff, Prosper Bani, the chief executive of Ghana Cocoa Board, Dr. Stephen Opuni, and other government officials. Pascalina Dadevo reports.
Cocoa remains the lifeblood of the country's economy. Even though it is not a much celebrated commodity, it is undoubtedly the second leading foreign exchange earner. Government's vision is to invest in the agriculture sector and make it attractive to the youth. It is also a way of cutting down the huge import bill and youth unemployment. As he marked the second anniversary, President Mahama chose to spend a day working on the cocoa farm of 34-year-old Samuel Tobi, a native of Asinsenchem. He owns a 44-acre cocoa farm. President Mahama rolled up his sleeves and joined Samuel to break open a number of cocoa pods and poured out the beans. They then went on to prepare it for fermentation and for drying later. President Mahama looked fulfilled after hours at the farm.
I'm very happy to have spent the day with them, especially the day that marks the second anniversary of my being sworn in as president. I believe that it's been a fruitful day. It will encourage not only these farmers whose farms are visited, but other young people who want to take to agriculture. Not only cocoa farming, there are other aspects of agriculture that are fruitful. There's aquaculture, there's food crop farming, you know, and I mean, walking to the farm alone was real exercise. And to imagine that they do this 2-3 times every day. And then apart from that, the work on the farm, harvesting the cocoa pods, looking after the trees, making sure that every year in, year out, we're able to get cocoa. I think that we as a country owe these farmers a lot.
According to President Mahama, the days were farming was seen as work for the aged this past. The youth, he said, must begin to look at agriculture as a lucrative venture and sustainable business.
Agriculture is now a business, and our young people should see it as a business opportunity. We all can be traders and be looking for shops in Okanchi and other places. Some of us should fan out into the agricultural sector, and I'm sure that it will be a good way of improving our incomes. Cocoa Board is instituting a program that targets young farmers. And so for young people who want to go into agriculture, if they contact, you know, the cocoa board, and they will help them with the seedlings. The seedlings are free of charge. They will help them with the spraying, tending to the cocoa crops. They will help them with the fertilizers and the inputs and all that. And so I think that is something our young people should consider.
The 34-year-old cocoa farmer Samuel Tobi studied agriculture at the senior high school, and that is where he ended his education. His parents were both cocoa farmers, and so he learned a lot from them. Samuel is a member of the Sinman Young Cocoa Farmers Association, which has a membership of 4,000. Before President Mahama joined Samuel on the farm, he passed through a debba held in his honor. The chief of Senchem, Nana Pusuabebiu, was grateful to government for the distribution of fertilizers, seedlings, and farm inputs. He, however, appealed for attention to be paid to the poor road network, schools, and water facilities for the communities. The town has been assured of construction of the road as it falls under the Cocoa Roads program by the Cocoa Board. Roads in cocoa growing areas will be constructed with an amount of $150 million annually. The chief executive of the Ghana Cocoa Board, Dr. Stephen Opuni, warned purchasing clerks who adjust their scales to cheat cocoa farmers that the BNI and other security agencies will be deployed randomly to arrest them. Residents are also encouraged to report such unscrupulous clerks and persons who divert fertilizers and inputs meant for the farmers to cocoa officials or to the police.
Pascaline Adadevo reporting.
A communication expert at the Ministry of Energy, Edward Bauer, says government will ensure Tema Oil Refinery Tor gets constant supply of crude oil to refine. In this vein, government is working closely with the board of Tor to make the commodity available for refinery. Mr. Bauer was speaking on Radio Ghana's current affairs program Behind the News.
The strategy of government is to ensure that Tor, that's Tema Oil Refinery, gets constant supply of crude to be able to refine. When you begin to have Tor working, what it definitely means is that there is a serious economic activity going on that has serious benefits for Ghana. In terms of even foreign exchange issues, we will realize that at the end of the day, we will be adding more value to part of the crude that we bring in and to sell. If you look at government strategy again, government strategy is that at the end of the day, even the crude that we produce in Ghana, in the very long run, we should be able to add value to it using our refinery. But that is the only way you can create jobs. Now, so on the strength of that, government has been working closely with the board of Tor to create a constant supply of feedstock, as it were, through the arrangement we're doing with the PetroSaudi. That is the most sustainable one that we can look at. But in the meantime, I believe that what Tor is just doing is to ensure that at least they are active within the period. And that's exactly what they are doing.
So what does government expect back in terms of reciprocity if what the Saudi arrangement issue comes fully on board?
No, basically, the point is that the Tor must function, because Tor is a very critical national asset that would, to a very large extent, help us, particularly in terms of the downstream in our petroleum industry. And so for us, the arrangement is supposed to ensure that consistently Tor has crude to refine. And if Tor has crude to refine, what it then means is that we may not necessarily have to be depending heavily on imported products, that is the refined products from outside. The more you import refined products, the more you create jobs for other countries. But the more you refine products within, the more you create jobs even for your own people. Oh. And also add value to all the various things that you do.
The head communications expert at the Ministry of Energy, Edward Bauer, on Tor.
Meanwhile, Deputy Ranking Member of the Parliamentary Select Committee on Mines and Energy, Dr. Robert Museri Glameni, said it is welcoming to know that Tema Oil Refinery has resumed operation. He said what the board needs to do now is to ensure that the refinery operates at maximum capacity. Speaking of Behind the News, Dr. Glameni said the board must ensure that the plant undergoes periodical maintenance.
I think that that is what some of us have been calling for. If they would wait for the running period, let's say the 300 days, cool stream, and then operate at maximum capacity, that would be good for the country. I think that for now, as we are operating with 800,000 barrels of crude, and that is likely to take them for there's a month or two operating at about 50% capacity, because they still haven't gone through the major shutdown repairs that they have to do to be able to fire the plant at full capacity and maximum efficiency. So one hopes that if that is the case, then the next thing that has to be done is to ensure that the plant undergoes the major shutdown maintenance, and then that will push them to be able to run the plant at maximum capacity. In that case, they should be able to, for example, take this 800,000 barrels of crude oil and run it in less than 15 days.
So the plant shutdown should be done periodically.
Yes, this plant major shutdown is done maximum 36 months, minimum 24 months if you want it.
So in your view, is Tor having the capacity to refine crude oil after staying out of its core mandate for that long?
Yes and no. Yes, in that they can run the plant at current state, but then not at full capacity, because they haven't done the major shutdown. As far as I'm concerned, I'm told they have not been able to do the major shutdown. To be able to put the plant in a state so that they can run at least or at most 95% of its capacity. Currently, what they are doing is just to make do with what they have. There are quite a number of plants that they have to ensure that they are properly fitted, maintained, expanded to be able to push them to the capacity that they can run without any problems.
Deputy Ranking Member of the Parliamentary Select Committee on Mines and Energy, Dr. Robert Museri Dramani.
Globally, 3,600 children die of HIV and AIDS every week, and 4,600 new babies are infected within a week. To stem this tide, the U.S. government and its partners are putting in place some new initiatives to accelerate the treatment of children infected with HIV and AIDS. Some $200 million will therefore be committed to the initiative in the next 2 years and is expected to cover an additional 300,000 children. The ambassador at large and coordinator of the U.S. government activities to combat HIV and AIDS, Deborah Briggs, made these revelations in the U.S. via audio conference. Roslyn Ganaglu reports.
The U.S. government has over the years committed more than $52 billion to HIV and AIDS programs globally. To achieve an AIDS-free generation, the U.S. President's Emergency Plan for AIDS Relief, PEPFAR, says it will continue to commit resources to combat the HIV and AIDS pandemic in Africa. The ambassador at large and coordinator of the U.S. government activities to combat HIV and AIDS, Deborah Briggs, called on stakeholders including partner countries, multilateral organizations, civil society, public and private sector to come on board, since the fight against HIV and AIDS is a shared responsibility.
Under President Obama, we've been able to triple the number of people receiving life-saving treatments, but also at the same time, through partnership, we're beginning to see some real change in the trajectory of the epidemic, which I think gives us all hope that the vision for an AIDS-free generation and actually control of the epidemic can be possible if we join together in a new way and a new hopeful way of bringing all of our talents to the mission and ensuring that we work together. I really want people to understand the magnitude of these numbers. A week, 25,000 adults dying and 36,000 adults infected. We have to stem this epidemic now before these numbers increase to a level where we don't have the fiscal resources globally to make the impact that we know we need to make.
Ambassador Briggs noted that many are of the notion that AIDS is no more a threat. This is why awareness creation is very critical. She called on the media to play its role in ensuring that the message goes down well with the people.
Many think that HIV/AIDS is over and that it's no longer an issue around the world. And I think raising the awareness right now is absolutely critical. I really hope that the journalists will continue to work on making this information available in a way that all can understand what's at risk at this moment, what is possible, and what we can do together. But what it will take as a group of host governments, Global Fund, UNAIDS, WHO, UNICEF, PEPFAR, and civil society to make this really a reality.
Among the supports given by the U.S. partners is the strengthening of health systems with emphasis on laboratory and strategic information systems.
Roslyn Ganaglu filed that report.
The EPA will be going back to court next week for directive on the enforcement of the ruling compelling AMA to stop dumping untreated human waste into the sea. The executive director of EPA, Daniel Amlalo, made this known in Accra during question time at a forum on the enforcement of environmental laws and regulations this year.
Yes, EPA and the ministry sent AMA to court on the discharge of untreated sewage into the sea. The court ruled that AMA should stop this. They asked for some time. They have presented some documents to EPA just before we had the Christmas break. We are looking at this. But clearly, discussions with the Ministry of Local Government and Rural Development says that AMA has to abide by the court's decision. We are planning to go back to court early next week to request the court to give directive as to the enforcement, because once it's in court, EPA cannot take any further action until it is resolved.
Well, the executive director of the EPA, Daniel Amlalo, on AMA's dumping of untreated waste into the sea.
The Electoral Commission has reopened nominations in two electoral areas in the Bunahafu and Volta regions, as well as all units where there were no nominations at the close of nominations last December. The Commission is reopening nominations in the Andresu electoral area of the Dama district in the Bunahafu region and Burinu Kwame Nkrumah electoral area of the Biakuya district in the Volta region, as well as all units where there were no nominations in accordance with the Public Elections Regulations 2012. In a statement, the Commission said the reopening of nominations is to give people who may now be interested in contesting the district assembly and unit committee elections in the affected areas the opportunity to file their nominations. Nominations for the elections in the areas concerned will close at 5 p.m. on Saturday, the 17th of this month. According to the statement, prospective candidates may obtain nomination forms from the deputy returning officers in the electoral areas concerned or from the district officers of the commission as soon as possible. The public is reminded that no fee shall be paid for obtaining the nomination forms or filing to contest any of the elections.
This news comes to you from Radio Ghana, Accra. The major stories. President Mahama challenges youth to take up agriculture as a business venture. Government to ensure constant supply of crude to Tema Oil Refinery to enhance operation. Sword cut for police clinic in Ashanti to ensure security of ailing suspects. Tanzania police arrest 15 people for alleged kidnap of albino girl. And football. Black Stars defeat Portuguese club Olhanes 3-0 in first pre-AFCON friendly match. You stay tuned. Welcome back. The Ashanti Regional Police Command is to get a 40-bed police clinic in the next 6 months. The project will cost 1.8 million Ghana cedis and is expected to be funded through donations by philanthropists and corporate bodies. The lack of a proper clinic is hindering the work of the police in the region as suspects taken to other hospitals find a way to escape. According to the Ashanti Regional Police Commander, DCOP Kofi Buache, a remand suspect who was taken to the Konfanochi Teaching Hospital for treatment escaped, a situation which he says is worrying. DCOP Kofi Buache was speaking at a ceremony at the Ashanti Regional Police Training School at Patase in Kumase to commence the actual construction of the police clinic. Correspondent Nicolas Osewusu has filed this report.
Currently, the police command has a clinic with only 3 rooms to cater for the over 1,000 police officers in the region and suspects. This has compelled the command to seek medical care from other facilities where they incur huge bills and also puts a strain on personnel as some have to be deployed to guard suspects when they are taken to these hospitals. The regional police commander, DCOP Kofi Buache, explained that the new clinic upon completion will ensure adequate security for suspects and reduce medical bills.
Because we lack police clinic, most of our medical cases, we take it to especially Konfanochi, where we incur very huge debts. When we send suspects, we have to put more men to the hospital in order to secure their safety. And if you recall, just quite recently, somebody who was at the Konfanochi and my prisoner escaped. If we have our own clinic, all these anomalies will be rectified. To compare the police hospital in Accra and compare the clinic here, we are far, far apart in terms of medical needs. This will also enable us, as a region, to have police trained doctors. As I'm speaking now, our clinic is manned by medical assistants.
Ashanti Regional Minister Samuel Sapong, who is also the chairman of the Regional Security Council, said government cannot provide all the needs of the security services. There is therefore the need for public-private partnership to address some of the operational challenges.
Government has improved the conditions of the police service by providing the needed logistics to deal with crime and other security challenges. However, government cannot do it on and on. Let me urge the good people of the region to support the police to make the project a reality. Let us also provide credible information to the police so that they can combat crime and help flush out criminal elements in our community. This event spurs on with a renewed determination to raise standards and image of the police service in the region and Ghana as a whole.
So far, 181,000 Ghana cedis has been donated by members of the public and corporate entities towards the project. The amount includes the 260,000 cedis pledged during the inauguration of the 200-seater police conference hall in Kumasi about 2 months ago. One of the philanthropists, Joseph Bwachidankwa, who donated 50 bags of cement, spoke to Radio Ghana.
In Ghana, our brain has been bad leadership.
With information anytime the police requires, then we'll be able to make in-depth investigations and also gather enough evidence and enough information as to what happened. Then I am sure if we find him culpable, definitely we are going to prepare charges against him and prosecute him at the law court. He has not been left off the hook.
In that Accra Regional Police PROSP, if you are thinking, you're talking to Bubu Klinugu.
On the foreign front, Tanzanian police have arrested 15 people following the kidnap of an albino girl in the north of the country, where albino body parts are sold for witchcraft. Three members of the four-year-old girl's family were among those arrested, including her father and two uncles. Police have also given the people 5 days to find the girl, Pendo Emmanuel Nundi, who was snatched last month from her home in the Mwanza region by attackers armed with machetes.
Sri Lankans have started voting a tightly fought presidential election in what is expected to be a fierce political battle for current President Mahinda Rajapaksa after a one-time ally suddenly defected from the ruling party to run against him. The November defection by former Health Minister Maithripala Sirisena turned to the race, which Rajapaksa had been widely expected to easily win, into a referendum on the president and the enormous power he wields over the island nation. Rajapaksa's power grew immensely after he crushed the Tamil Tiger rebels in 2009 and then the country's 25-year civil war.
Football. Ghana's senior national team, the Black Stars, recorded a 3-0 win over Portuguese club Olhanense yesterday in their first pre-AFCON friendly match. Goals from Christian Atu, Jordan Ayew and debutant Kwesi Appiah ensured Ghana a comfortable victory. The Black Stars will play their second friendly against German Bundesliga side Freiburg before travelling to Equatorial Guinea for the tournament, which will start on the 17th of this month.
Now to end the news, the main points again. President Mahama has called on the youth to take up agriculture as a business rather than a way of life. President Mahama made the call when he spent time with the 34-year-old cocoa farmer Samuel Toby on his farm at Asimbichim in the central region to mark its second year in office. Government is to ensure constant supply of crude to Tema Oil Refinery to enhance operations. A communication expert at the Ministry of Energy, Edward Power, disclosed this in an interview with Radio Ghana. And police in Tanzania have arrested 15 people following the kidnap of an albino girl in the north of the country, where albino body parts are sold for witchcraft. The news was presented by Darina Mpufu
and Samuel Essa in Accra.